Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
And we are back, folks. Another episode of the Michigan Basketball Insider with my guy, Tim McCormick. And as I always do in the intro, I talk about what a great, great, great time I have doing these with my pal, my buddy, my big fella. It's always better, though, when they win. And for the first time in a month, we are doing an episode after Michigan has posted back-to-back wins. It's my pleasure to introduce the man that makes it go. He was a big fella roaming in the middle for Michigan in the early 80s before going on to be a first-round draft pick. Spent a decade in the NBA and has been one of the top color commentators, college or pro, in the land on the basketball side of things. And I'm talking about my buddy, Tim McCormick. Tim, how are you today?
Fantastic, Sam. I played with a lot of really good point guards. Sam, you're my favorite.
I appreciate that.
You know how to get the ball into the low post, and I love that about you. I was thinking about, just different topics today, and I always feel like February is the most challenging window of college basketball. It's kind of like, how in baseball they say August is the dog days of summer, right? You've got the mental and the physical fatigue. The newness of the start of the season is long gone. There's no holiday focus. Conference play is going, and we still have over 30 days till Selection Sunday. So it's kind of a hard period to see where teams go. And typically, those that have really good leadership have a massive advantage this time of year. Michigan beat Ohio State yesterday. And it was simply because Hunter Dickinson was not the all Big Ten Hunter Dickinson. He was the all American Hunter Dickinson. And he completely dominated that game. He owned the paint. He did everything. And he was not going to lose. And so I saw a lot of growth and improvement for Michigan.
I think one of the biggest, sort of adjustments for Hunter, and you called it out, I want to say a couple episodes ago now. You said he needs to make quicker decisions, whether that's passing the basketball because now teams are doubling him on the catch, or getting into his move quicker, making a quicker, decisive move, anticipating the double team. And it feels like he's gotten more comfortable with that. Feels like his teammates have gotten more comfortable not just watching Hunter. Right? They move better. Guys making cuts, guys getting into open spots on the perimeter. They don't always make the shot. But you at least see the plan there, right? And Tim, and the other piece that I want you to focus on, this was something that was kind of evident against Northwestern, where they post them, kind of posting them at the top a little bit. They seem to be strategically trying to position him where it's harder for doubles to reach him as well.
Yeah, it's a challenge. It kind of reminds me of a story of when I played with Akeem Olajuwon. And I kind of compare Hunter. No, I don't. but anyway, we were playing the Lakers in the playoffs, and our coaching staff had devised a couple of plays to have some misdirection. Set a back screen using Olajuwon, and then he gets a cross screen, and then they fake the pass, and then they get it inside. And he said something brilliant. He said, "Why don't you just throw me the ball? we don't need all this other stuff. Just throw me the ball." And Hunter's improvement, it's obvious. I know people will say, "Well, he was better as a freshman." Completely false. He's learning so much. And I have to be honest with you. I think that during the games Michigan was losing, especially Penn State, I thought Hunter moped. I thought he was feeling sorry for himself. He was kind of roaming the perimeter, like, why do I have to post up? Because I'm just going to get double and triple teamed. And that wasn't the case yesterday. And he learned, if I just play hard and embrace the fact that I'm so darn good that they're going to do everything to get the ball out of my hands, I'll still get my opportunities. I'll still get my 25. And that's what he did. And this is how important his position is. Like, Ohio State was really good. They were ranked until Zed Key, that's their Hunter Dickinson, got hurt. When he was healthy, Ohio State was strong. And now they're just a bunch of guys that are young and trying to get their points, and they've got no clue out there.
Yeah, man, it's it's one of those deals where, it's part of a maturation of a team. Part of it is adjusting to the way teams are playing you as well. And you got to remember, or at least I have to remember at times, that we are, talking about a lot of players that are really young. It didn't dawn on me until talking to the guys after the Ohio State game, Kobe's younger than Jet. Jet was like, that's my little brother over there. I'm older than him. And you forget that, Kobe's a young sophomore. So, when you put it that way, it's not surprising that it's kind of taking them some time to settle into how to play. And that we also have talked about the assertiveness for Hunter kind of manifesting in a different kind of way. Because this was the other thing that was very, very evident. It's been more evident of late, Hunter directing traffic. So, telling guys ahead of time, I need you to cut when I get the ball, or directing traffic out on the perimeter. It's also been more evident beyond Hunter on the defensive end of the floor, Tim, and this is another thing that stuck out to me against in these last two games. They've just been more connected defensively, and I think a lot of it has to do with guys talking more. I told Juwan after the game, man, we can see and hear you from press row, and we're way up there. We don't always see and hear the players, but now we're seeing and hearing them more, and I think Hunter, more than any of them, is becoming a louder presence on the defensive end of the floor. I'm not making it sound like they're stalwarts or anything, but that to me sounds like progress.
Yeah, it's a good observation. I always feel like you can hear a good defensive team if you're sitting close to the court. You hear them talking. Joey Baker, by the way, a really good talker. Will Cheddar, a very good talker. And I think that Terrence Williams, he's not loud, but he's a good communicator. But you can also hear their feet. You can hear the squeaking sound of a shoe. And Michigan, I think, has improved more in that area than anything else. Number one, when you watch Michigan play their best games, this may surprise you, but Sam, I think you would be happy to see armpits. Like, you want to see Michigan's armpits. That sounds kind of nasty and gross, but that's when they play well. Their arms are up, their hands are moving, they're going to the boards. If you've got your hands at your side, you're not an effective defender. And the other time you really want to see it, contesting shots. Just get your hands up. It doesn't have to be where your hand is right on the ball at the release point. Just get a hand up. Let them know you're there, and that's effective enough. And then also, they're probably not going to be very good in this area all year, but they're better at stopping the drive. Just move your feet. All you need to do is two slides, okay? You're in your stance. The guy's going to his right, two slides left, and you're there. That's all you need to do. And if you can make him change directions or stop his path, that's it. Just two slides. It sounds easy, and they've struggled with it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Are you excited, Sam? You want to see some armpits?
Well, hey, listen, man, listen. It was noticeable to me. You've been on the court at every level, Tim. When guys are blaming one another, that's different than when guys are correcting one another. And you could see guys were correcting one another on the court. Again, I'm not here to make it sound like they are, they've gone from being really bad defensively to being really good. They've just put together a couple of games where they look more connected. They sound more connected. And you look up at against Ohio State, who I know, we got to put it in perspective, they were 1-8 in their last 9 coming in that game. So it's not like they were playing great, but you held that team to 40% from the field. That's good work for Michigan. I mean, holding any team to 40%. I don't care if they haven't won a game. It's progress for Michigan. So definitely want to shout Hunter out in that regard. And also want to shout Kobe out in that regard. Because on a team that has struggled mightily defensively and still trying to find its way, I think he's emerged as the best defensive guy they have, accepting the challenge of kind of defending the best perimeter guy on the opposition, going all the way back to Amani Bates, right? And we saw him, I think, do a really good job against Bryce Sensabaugh in this game.
Yeah, and Bryce is really good. He's this year's Malachi Branham, a one-year, one-and-done guy. Kobe has really good body language now. And I think early in the year, he was saying to himself, I paid my dues, I'm going to be really good. But until you actually do it and you face star players on the other team and you go on the road and you have some adversity and maybe you're tired and you fight through it, until you do it, you're never really sure. And now I look at his body language and you can see kind of the look in his eye like, yeah, I'm good. I can do this.
Right?
And I still don't trust his jump shot, but with his work ethic, I think he's going to get there. And you're going to see a four-year guy that plays both ends of the court, and he's going to emerge into a silent leader. Kobe Bufkin is really fun to watch.
Yeah, so we just pointed out a couple of things that seem to be an emphasis in practice. Talking on defense, and then as we talk about getting Hunter the ball, post-entry is kind of a lost art, Tim, because guys don't – I mean, it's just not a staple of every team anymore. In your day, I mean, could you play if you couldn't feed the post? I mean, guys just – you know, you just didn't – you didn't see the court. And so when you play with a big fella, you know, it's an adjustment to teach guys, you know, guys that are on the floor with them. So it's not just one guy that's good at feed the post. You got to teach the team. You got to have strategies that, you know, involve feeding the post. And it feels like Michigan is making progress there too.
Yeah. The best team that I've ever seen entering the post was Clarkston High School. You know, we started playing together when we were young, and I was always posting up, and they got really good at the fundamentals. You know, I would give them a target hand and they would hit it. They would, you know, use pass fakes. They would, if they wanted to throw it low, they'd fake it up high. And they were really good at lobs because they got a lot of reps and they knew that's where the coach wanted them to go. And Michigan is finally getting there. And it's a two-way street. I think I shared with you the story of playing with Maurice Cheeks, the Hall of Fame point guard with the Sixers. And I posted up. And he looked me off and went to the other side. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, I've got a little guy on me. Why don't you give me the ball? And he said, listen, if you don't look like you want it, I'm not giving it to you. And that sent a real message to me. So then I was like, you know, I was like a puppy waiting for his breakfast. Like I was waving my arms. I was working like, give me the ball. I got some work to do. Hunter can make things a little bit easier. And another thing, like when you think about a postman that's got that look in his eye, he's waving his hands, like he's got urgency about him. Everybody in the stands, if he doesn't get it, they're saying, why aren't they getting the ball? Like, look how bad he wants it. So you're really forcing your guys on the perimeter to be aggressive and throw it in there.
Yeah, no doubt. So now you are in a place where you're talking about who's making progress. So what guys are you really kind of taking note of making progress in that department?
I like Doug. I like Doug a lot. And there were times this year that I thought he's not ready. Like, he's too young. He's a little bit erratic. Sam, you remember the first games. I mean, he made some plays where he nearly ran out of his shoes. And he was going so fast. I just see a ton of growth. He's slowing down. He's seeing the court a lot better. But the thing that has impressed me the most, he doesn't have an ego. So many freshmen, they just want to score, and he wants to win. Played 37 minutes against Ohio State, but he never seems to get tired. I like his defense and his effort. Look, he's going to improve defensively with time, but he knows where to go and what to do. And maybe the thing that I didn't expect, his shooting is a plus. Like when I look at shooters, I judge if their misses are left or right. If they're left or right, I worry about that guy. He's got some funky spin on it. But for the most part, Doug's misses are straight, and they're either a little bit long or a little bit short. You can live with that, and I think he'll improve in that area.
Yeah, you know, he's been a better shooter than I expected him to be.
Yes.
At this point in his career. I mean, he's not a guy that you should just, I mean, he made him pay, Ohio State pay. They played like 5 feet off of him beyond the three-point line. He calmly sank it. I think he was 2 for 5 from three against Northwestern. It's the inside the arc efficiency that has to continue to improve. He had a breakaway. You know, it's one of those things where they were able to come behind him and block the shot. He's tweaking that mid-range game. So, you know, kind of figuring it out, figuring the offensive game out and what he can do inside the arc is a work in progress. But what I like is offensive inefficiency. If his shot isn't falling overall, and what I mean by that is I think he was like 3 for I can't remember what he was. He didn't shoot a great clip in either game. But look at his assist numbers. Tim, look at at the assist game that he had against Northwestern. He went out there and dished 9 assists with no turnovers. Now, he was 1 for 7 from the field, but 9 assists and no turnovers on the road. That's good. That is a really good game, in my opinion, for Doug McDaniel. Is he going to look back at it and say that's not one of his better games because he only scored 2 points? Sure, but, you know, it's not don't make perfect be the enemy of the good. To your point, this is a young fella maturing in front of our eyes. It's taking a little time, but I think we can see the signs of growth there.
Yeah, got to be honest with me on this, Sam. At this point in his career, was Doug recruited to be first string, second string, or third string?
He was not recruited to be first string for sure. At most, second string.
Yeah, Frankie Collins was supposed to be the starter or second. Jalen Llewellyn was probably brought in to be the one. And Doug McDaniel was brought in to develop and to work hard and to learn the game. So if you look at it from that perspective, he has so far exceeded every expectation for him.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's talk a little bit about Joey, because when we talked the last time, you said you thought he was really struggling with his confidence. That was the reason for all the drives. And maybe that was the case, but it seems like he's kind of shaking out of that funk a little bit or showing signs of it and still keeping that drive element to his game because I watched him drive, finish lefty. I was like, oh, this dude is, you know, he's kind of figuring some things out, you know, as well, even as a veteran on this team.
Yeah, Joey Baker has never played this much. He's never had an important role like this. And so this is all new to him, and he's improved also. This is really, you know, very impressive the way he's attacking closeouts because that's not his thing. He had 8 points and 3 rebounds in 16 minutes. That's all you can hope for, right? I mean, that's so impressive to me. And he's improved his defense. And I think that if Michigan is going to finish strong, they've got their three go-to guys. We know who they are. We know what they do. But good teams have 4, maybe 5 scores. And we just focused on the two guys that I think are the best bet to really help this team.
No doubt. No doubt. All right. So, outlook, Tim. We do this all the time. It felt like a serious gut punch when they lost on the road at Penn State. You know, felt like the hopes for NCAA were maybe done for or had gone almost down the drain. NIT was even in question. Does 1 week make a difference to your outlook with 2 wins now over teams that on paper they should beat? What do you think about the Wolverines at this point?
No. No, absolutely not. Can't even talk about it. They're 13-10. They're not even close. It's way too early to talk about the postseason. With such a new team, look, if they beat Nebraska and Indiana, I will still tell you, no, let's not talk about NCAA. It's way too early. And I'm going to stick with my thought that I shared with you after Penn State. Somehow, if they get to 19 wins going into the Big Ten tournament, then I say, yeah, I feel good about their chances. But this team has got to focus one game at a time. I know that Juwan Howard has not talked at all about, okay, guys, we need this many out of this many. You know, 6 of 8 would be great. Well, with a young team, do you really feel good about them getting 6 out of 8 when you've got Indiana and you've got Michigan State? They have to keep playing their best ball because they dug a massive hole, and I think they can get out of it, but I don't even want to think about it right now, Sam.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think we are a long way away from talking about NCAA tournament, man. You know, I had taken for granted that the NIT was a given, and they were starting to look like a team where that they're on the NIT bubble. You lose to Penn State, you're on the NIT bubble at that point, right? So
that's true.
It is still obviously very, very, very early to be talking about the big dance, but there is opportunity. There's opportunity to make some hay. You got this Nebraska game coming up, which we are going to preview now, and then just over the horizon, you have a game against an Indiana team that is playing lights out right now, but a game, an opponent where I actually like the matchups and you're at home. So let's start off first, though, talking about Nebraska. No game is a gimme for this team. Let's be clear. But Tim McCormick, they have no business losing to Nebraska. I mean, they've got to beat Nebraska at home. Am I right?
You are right. Nebraska's not good. Let me start off with that. But they're good enough to beat you. Mm-hmm. Just ask Penn State. They beat Penn State by 9. They beat Iowa by 16. They beat Florida State. They beat Boston College. They beat Creighton. Like that sounds like a pretty good team, right? I would say right now that Nebraska is better than Ohio State, right? I mean, if you look at the record and what they're doing now, Nebraska on a neutral site would beat Ohio State. They've got some decent players. The kid Walker, I think it's Derek Walker, about 13 points, 6 or 7 rebounds. He's big. He's 6'9", 250. So he'll be able to battle with Hunter. But this is a poor offensive team. And I think I have to ask the question is, I mean, is Fred Hoiberg in trouble there? They play hard, but is that enough?
You know, it's interesting. When you look at, you know, what they were, what he inherited. First, let's talk about Fred Hoiberg at Iowa State. I thought he did a great job at that program, sort of overachieving. And the way he did it, he went out and got a lot of JUCOs and was able to mesh and meld them together into a cohesive unit that was a consistent tournament threat. Goes to the NBA, you know, has some success there, but doesn't really take hold like people thought he would. And now he comes back to Nebraska looking like he was going to be a real revelation for them, a step up. Now, it's been anything but, Tim. And when you look at what he was, what Nebraska was before he got there, what's the coach that preceded him?
Miles.
Yes. He actually had decent teams there, Tim. And, yeah. And I remember when they let him go, thinking to myself, I mean, don't we have to remember that you're Nebraska? Like, what's your expectation? And this is what I mean. What's your expectation for your basketball program in Nebraska? Do you think you're going to challenge for the Big Ten, win the Big Ten? Or do you think that you'll be middle of the road with a chance to make the tournament every now and then? You know, every couple years. I think that it's the latter, not the former. I thought Miles did for all intents and purposes, did a good job there. I think they got caught up in the money that they had put into the program, expecting that that was going to translate into better results. And I just think that you got to have more realistic expectations if you're Nebraska. So if you broom, you know, Fred Hoiberg at this point, I think you're not giving him a chance to let his vision take hold there, and you're just going to be prolonging the rebuilding process. I'm curious what you think about that.
Yeah, I liked Miles too. The interesting thing that the last time I had a game there, he was the coach, and he was sort of the first guy that was sending tweets out at halftime of a game. Mm-hmm. That was unheard of at that point. And he was a good coach, and he had a good model. He brought in some you know, some big guys, some athletes, and he let them stay around for a while, and they became good. I just think that Fred Hoiberg is in the same position as Scott Frost was, that there's no recruiting base there and there's no way to get the kind of athletes. You've got to connect from everywhere. And so that's a problem. I honestly have not watched Nebraska very much because this is America and it's free and I don't have to do something like watch Nebraska. I watch other teams play, but I am looking forward to watching Michigan play them because I do think that it's a challenge, because if I'm a young player and I know I've got Indiana coming up this weekend, I'm not thinking a whole lot about Nebraska when I'm laying in bed at night. I'm thinking about my game after Nebraska. So that'll be the challenge. And as I said, they're not good, but they're good enough to beat you.
So let's just put up Tim Miles's record as we were talking. So let's think about it. He was the Big Ten Coach of the Year in 2014, where he guided Nebraska to their first tournament appearance, NCAA tournament appearance, in almost 20 years. He went 22-11 in the 17-18 season, had 13 wins in conference, didn't make the tournament with 13 conference wins, went to the NIT. But my point is you had – the Big Ten Coach of the Year. He won 20 games. He had 13 conference victories in another season. How much better do you expect to do if you're Nebraska, Tim? I mean, you just laid out the limitations there. That's why it would be foolish. It would be very foolish to broom a proven coach like Fred Hoiberg, because things are, things are taking some time to get back on track. He'll get it. He'll get him respectable again. But then let's manage your expectations after that if you're the Cornhuskers.
Okay, Sam, we've just spent 3 minutes on Nebraska and their coaching situation.
We're
the only podcast in the entire nation talking Nebraska basketball. Yeah. We've got to change topics immediately.
We do. I'm more interested in the game after that. Again, not poo-pooing. Nebraska is not a gimme, but Michigan, I expect them to win that game. Indiana's coming to town winning 6 of their last 7, Tim. And they went, and we'll get deeper into this game, to preview it in another episode. But they went and took out the number one team in the country. Overcame another monster effort by Zach Edey. Trace Jackson-Davis is
– he
challenged his team early in the season, saying we aren't doing what our coach coached us to do, instructed us to do in practice or on either end of the floor, holding his teammates accountable. So he's raising his level of play and leadership. And then Jalen Hood-Schifano, you got a young freshman here, Tim, another along the lines of Bryce Sensabaugh, who's standing out. We know Jet is looking like a lottery pick. This is another guy we need to be talking about.
So I went to Bloomington this fall to watch the Michigan-Indiana game, the Mike Hart game, actually. I was scared to death at halftime because I did not recognize our football team. But before that game, I went and spent time with my friend and teammate, Mike Woodson. And we talked a lot about building a program. And he shared how Trace Jackson-Davis was so much of a better leader than he thought. And he talked about how his young guys could really shoot the ball. And throughout the whole practice, I was mesmerized by Jalen Hood-Schifano. Like if I'm an NBA general manager, I want that guy because he's a big guard that just operates so smooth. His jump shot is beautiful. He's going to get better and better. And I think that his emergence has given them the 1-5 balance that you're always looking for. In that game, I worry about Hunter getting in foul trouble. I don't want Hunter to cover Trace Jackson-Davis. I think that's a tough matchup for him. But on the other hand, I like the fact that Hunter can power him, and I would anticipate that they're going to double Hunter and make him a passer again. I'd like to see Michigan do the same thing and give Hunter some help. Yeah, he can cover him by himself, but if Hunter gets in foul trouble, that game goes south in a hurry.
No doubt. So we'll get deeper into that breakdown after the Nebraska game. So be on the lookout for another episode this week. But ending on a somber note, Tim, before we started the episode, I got news, some very, very sad news, that one of your brothers in Maize and Blue, one of my Flint Town brothers, Demetrius Caleb, passed away at the age of 53. His son, Demetrius Caleb II, talked about it on Instagram. He said he was the perfect example of a great dad, and I can only be grateful and happy. He did exactly what he was supposed to do in terms of a father. So, Tim, I felt like we need to pay homage to another one of those Flint guys that came up in the ranks. He was a Bill Frieder guy, from that Flint Northern program back in the day. And, man, that he, he was a Bill Frieder recruit, I should say. And he was a guy who had a whole lot of game but played on some loaded teams. So I don't know if people really appreciated that enough.
Very sad. High-quality person, great dad. Demetrius Jr. came to the top 100 camp. I had a chance to play against Demetrius during summers. And you're right, he was an excellent player he was all about winning. So he probably could have scored a ton of points elsewhere, but he wanted to win games. And it makes my heart sad, and just send prayers up to Demetrius.
Yeah, a guy who was to be on the shorter side, which is enough for me to say, but he's about 6'1", could jump out of the gym, was a guy who could get downhill with the best of them. But when you're playing on a team, you got teams that have Gary Grant and Ramil Robinson and guys of that ilk, first-round draft picks. That's why I say you probably just don't appreciate how good Demetrius Caleb was, and he finally got his chance to shine after all the guys from that championship team went to the league. So, you know, after the 89 title, Glenn leaves, and then after the 90 tournament run, which ended early to Loyola Marymount, that's Terry Mills, Loy Vaught, Ramil, Sean Higgins, Mark Hugh, all those guys are gone at that point. So, you know, he was charged with being the guy that bridged. He was in that bridge team from that title squad to the Fab Five. He was that in-between year, the star of that team, got a cup of coffee in the NBA, gone but not forgotten. And, you know, you talk to folks in Flint lore, he definitely goes down as one of the all-time greats from the city of Flint. So,
yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I have great memories of Demetrius. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Tim, that is going to do it for this episode. Remember, we're going to be doing another episode this week, and we may have a special guest, so I want to tease you with that. We'll look deeper into Saturday's matchup with Indiana at the time. Of course, folks, if you like this podcast, be sure to rate it. Be sure to review it. Be sure to tell all your friends about it. They can find it wherever they get their podcast. That's Google, that's Stitcher, that's Spotify, iTunes, you name it. They can find it. If you like watching this, be sure to like the video. Be sure to subscribe to the channel. More episodes coming your way, not just of this, but the Recruiting Insider. We got the Behind the Uniform series firing back up with players coming through the studio for video interviews. So a lot still to come. Again, like the video, subscribe to the channel. If you want to stay up to speed on everything that's going on behind the scenes, inside intel, recruiting, football, basketball, we were on top of the Chris Partridge hire before anyone, or the upcoming hire of Chris Partridge. Be sure to check us out over at themichiganinsider.com. $1 gets you in your first month. You cannot beat the bang for your buck. When you become a full-paying member, you also get access to Paramount Plus as part of your subscription. Until next time, we'll see you again on the next edition of the Michigan Basketball Insider.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.